This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program if you would like those addresses. You might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down. The website has this program on it, and you might want to re-listen to it or pass it along to friends. And it also has a weekly meditation on it that you might find helpful, as well as tracts and some questions and answers and other information that I think you might find interesting. So if you want those addresses, get a pencil out and I'll give them to you at the close of the program. We're more than happy to take prayer requests as well. And if you have some prayer requests, just let us know and we'll pray for you. Now, again, today we want to go back to our theme where we've been looking at scriptures that have been particularly helpful to me in my life, scriptures that have guided me, and we're passing them along as though perhaps you don't have a lot of experience with the scriptures and know just exactly where to start in understanding what a Christian should do, what a Christian should be like. We know that many people assume that Christians should be like other Christians who tell them what they should be like, and in some cases they give them good advice, in some cases they give them bad advice. And I'm hoping that I give you good advice, because I would like to believe that anybody that's going to guide you as to your new life in Christ, that they are going to go to the scriptures to do that, and they're not going to lay religious burdens on you, but they're going to help you enjoy the freedom and the liberty that comes with serving Christ in a holy way. We've mentioned that scripture in Romans chapter 12, where Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." So now that we've gotten by Thanksgiving and we're perhaps gotten by Black Friday as well, and Black Friday isn't really Dark Friday, it's the day when most retail stores have their income greater, their net income greater than their costs. And so the bottom line on their income statement is black. Black Friday doesn't just simply mean that it's a dismal day or a bad day. It's a good day because the income statement's turned black and you've turned them black by going out and doing your shopping and by being blessed in this country to be able to do such a thing. But I want you to be blessed with the blessings of God. And so on Thanksgiving time, we mentioned that one of the things we all should do is we should thank God for dying for us. But we can only do that if, in fact, we can do it honestly and sincerely. And that only comes when we have realized our sin and have trusted the Lord for salvation. We know that Paul did that, and he could say, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Because again, Paul writes in Romans 6 that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you are able to thank the Lord for saving you, then we've noted that studying the scriptures is extremely important, and we've gone through some scriptures that prove to us or that tell us that scripture is divinely inspired and is profitable. And it's all the scripture, all the Bible is divinely inspired and profitable. But I always suggest that people who are newly saved start reading in the New Testament. They'll find that easier than if they start reading in the Old Testament. We've noted that you need to memorize the scriptures that give you the assurance of salvation. All good gospel verses have good news and bad news. The bad news is that if we reject what God has offered through his Son, that we will perish eternally and be separated from God eternally. But if we accept it, we'll be blessed eternally and we'll have eternal life. And one of the scriptures that we particularly emphasized was John 5, verse 24. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And that's gospel truth, and it's truth that we can depend upon. And we've noted that it's the scriptures that produce faith and assurance and new life. Many people say, "Well, how do I believe?" Well, you have to have something to believe. And the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convince you of the truth of Scripture and to convince you that the scriptural promise that Christ died for the ungodly can be depended upon. And then we looked at some scriptures that should guide our new life in Christ. And Matthew 6:33 was one that we looked at. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things that we worry about, all food, health, clothing, and all those things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all live by that principle? And then we looked at 1 Thessalonians 5:14, which had the idea of warning and comforting and upholding the weak and of not getting even and rejoicing and praying and not quenching the spirit, that is, not doing things that would keep the spirit from being able to freely operate in our lives. That would be sin, really, having our fellowship with God broken, not losing our salvation, but having our fellowship with God broken. And then we aren't to despise prophesying. That is, we're not to despise those who preach the Word of God, who are spokesmen for God. And today that would be people who preach from the Bible. And we are commanded to test all things. That is, we personally have the Holy Spirit in us, and we have the Word of God before us. And so we need to use some wisdom as to what we believe, because it's easy for us to believe the people we want to believe. God doesn't always tell us what we want to hear. So we have to test all things, and we can do that, and then we abstain from every form of evil. But today there's a verse that I want to leave with you that is extremely important. It's a verse for the believers, and it has to do with our Christian life. It says in Ephesians 4, verse 32, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, we trust the Lord will bless this particular verse to us today. I've often said that we should have some texts, easily read texts that are beautiful, hanging in our homes. And I like to have a good gospel verse hanging where people can see it, because I will freely admit that when people come into my home, I don't always try to belabor them with the gospel. But if they can read a text on the wall, or if they can see that I have before me the interest of them at heart by putting a scripture on the wall, if they ask me about that scripture, it gives me an opening. And even if they don't ask me about that scripture, if faith does come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and the Bible says it does, then I have in some way witnessed to those who come into my house without being overbearing. And so I often have in my home John 5:24 or John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Right now, if you come into my home, you'll find in a stencil-like form on the wall as you come in, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." We need a good gospel verse hanging where people can see it. But in our bedrooms, perhaps, or in our living rooms, we need this verse: "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." We also need this verse in our churches, because in spite of what we would like to tell people, we don't always get along. And so this verse, if we would remember the value of this verse and would live by it, it would be a blessing not only to us, but it'd be a blessing to those that we are around. And this is a blessing that only the saved through the power of the Holy Spirit will be able to enjoy. You'll notice we're to be kind. And that means we think about how our actions affect others. And we don't flatter others, but it's all right to commend others and to compliment others for things that they do well. And when they're sick, draw alongside them and support them, and to consider their feelings. We're to be tender-hearted. That is, we're to be sympathetic. We're to understand where others are coming from, and we're to hurt when they hurt. And I think that there's a sense in which sometimes we don't we aren't willing to put ourselves in the shoes of those who perhaps are going through difficulty, but we would treat them like we would treat our own children. That is, if we're in a family that's a normal family, we would treat them like we would treat our own children. We're tender-hearted toward our children. And then we forgive one another. That means that from time to time, people are going to upset you and make you mad even. But we're to forgive one another. And while we are to forgive people, whether they ask for forgiveness or not, that doesn't mean that we're always reconciled to them. But if we do provide forgiveness for them, that is, if our mindset is such that we're willing to forgive them, just as the Lord's mindset was that he was willing to forgive us when he said, Father, forgive them, for they would know not what they do at the cross. If we're willing to do that, the other person, when they come along and realize what they've done and confess their sins, the reconciliation will be great and the relationship will be restored, and that will be important. So we need to forgive one another because that was what God did for us, even as God in Christ's sake forgave you. And I've seen people who had lost the joy of their salvation, and when they began to follow this program where they were kind to others and tender-hearted, and when they began to forgive others, they themselves were reassured that God in Christ had forgiven them, because this is not how the unsaved walk. As a matter of fact, if I took you back to Ephesians 4, in the middle of this chapter, Paul would admonish us not to walk like the unsaved walk. He calls them the Gentiles, that is, the nations. But he's talking about the unsaved. He says, therefore I say and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, the emptiness of their own mind, having their understanding darkened. They're blind to the things of God, being alienated from the life of God. They're separated from God by sin because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And I think that could be translated the hardness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. So it's sort of a downward spiral here. They're walking with an empty mind, and because of that, they end up being past feeling. And in some cases, they even hurt their family members because they just don't have any sympathy or empathy for others. But a Christian is supposed to just exactly do this the other way. They are to be kind one to another. They're to have empathy. They're to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I hope that that verse is a help to you in your relationship with others that you love. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless thy word. Bless those who are listening today. We trust that this word will impact us all and be a blessing to us. We thank thee for thy Son in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.